Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light. And we worship you, Lord, because it also gives us understanding. Thank you for the spirit of the Lord this morning, the spirit of joy, the spirit of lifting up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, because as we praise the Lord, burdens are being lifted. Hallelujah. Concerns are being shattered. Glory to God. You are arranging, you know, lives and destinies, and you are breaking down barriers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, because our praise is making wave for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise, Lord, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Let's share a few more parables today. We've been doing the Parables of the Kingdom series, and a lot of powerful parables that Jesus gave. Today, I'm going to read a few parables, you know, on persistence from, you know, the book of Luke and elsewhere. We'll see what the Lord has to say. I mean, this is not a subject, that you don't know. But since we're on the subject of parables, well, let's read these ones as well. Praise the Lord. And remember that Jesus is communicating the, you know, some principles through these parables. You know, that's what we must remember. And here in the book of Luke, chapter 18, there's something he wanted to communicate. You know, he said, you know, let's read it from the beginning of Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So this particular parable, what Jesus is trying to communicate is how we must always pray and not give up. And even if it looks like the answer is not forthcoming, well, keep on praying and don't give up. This is what Jesus is communicating here in this parable. Well, let's take a look. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was also a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman or widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So let's talk about that parable for a bit. We've talked about it before, but let's talk about it again as well on the subject of parables. There was in a city a judge, the Lord said, and this widow woman brought her petition to the man, and he would not give her the time of day, and they sent her away. Now, there is a possibility that she was there until closing time, and then they sent, you know, put her out and closed the doors, and sent her away. And then, well, she went away, but she came back the next day. Yes, just think of it like that. And she came back, she had a petition. You know, she had, you know, something as for which she was seeking redress. And she kept coming. And the man would give her no time of day. He didn't really care, you know, to be compassionate or to answer her cause. He kept putting her off and sending her away. But she kept coming. And she kept crying to the judge. And so finally he thought within himself, look, if I don't do something about this, you know, this woman will weary me completely, you know, because of her continual coming. Now, and he went and did, went ahead and did what it was that the woman was asking for. And then Jesus made a comment and said, well, look at what this unjust judge, this judge that had no compassion, no empathy, couldn't care for anyone, didn't even fear God. But look at how he responded, because the woman troubled him. And Jesus said, well, will not God therefore then avenge his own elect? Because this woman was saying, avenge me, avenge me. So Jesus picked up on the words of the woman and said, well, this woman I was saying, avenge me, avenge me. If you're crying to the Lord regarding anything, will he not answer you then? Seeing how that this unjust judge answered this woman, not because he cared, but because she troubled him. So the lesson here is persistence in prayer, that men ought always to pray. That was the lead off verse. He spoke this parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint and not to give up. There are many reasons why we give up when we are praying for something. You know, sometimes we say, well, I've been praying long enough. Well, maybe it's not the will of God. Maybe God doesn't want me to have it. Now, too many people fall into that trap of saying, well, maybe it's not the will of God. My answer to that is this. Don't pray about it at all until first you determine whether it's the will of God or not. Now, we've been teaching that for a long time on this platform. You know, my lessons on faith is they're always based on that. First, find out what God has to say about that. Is there a promise in the scriptures for it? So away with maybe it's not God's will. That's why I'm not being answered. Away with that. You know, that's a waste of your time. You know, a waste of even God's time. If you don't know whether it's God's will, why are you bothering him with it? And why are you bothering yourself with it? You know, so let's not even think that it might not be God's will. That's why he's not answering. You know, some people think that at times. You know, and then, you know, there are many other things that can make us give up. You know, sometimes just the time element, you know, time element, because, you know, generally speaking, we are by nature impatient. You know, we don't like to get in there for the long haul, you know, stay in there, drag it out, but stay right in there. No, you know, people just want things, want an answer quick and then be done with it. You know, and the world that we are in today, things are getting quicker and shorter and so on and so forth. You do things much more quickly now. Everything, even in technology, even time and travel, and things are getting shorter and shorter. There's all kinds of things. You know, people don't like to wait in line for anything. I mean, you go to the post office, you know, and you see a long line, you just, you know, most people just walk away and then come back and then there's still a long line. And if you do that, you will always be at the end of the line, you know, and you go back, you come back, you will still be at the end of the line, you know, and you know, some people, you know, they can't even wait for anything, you know, it's like, that's just our nature most of the time. You know, when we are waiting, we want to get it done, you know, we can't wait for, you know, the meal when it's being cooked, just microwave it for 2 minutes and give it to me. But sometimes you got to savor the smell of what the Lord is cooking, you know, he's cooking something. Well, you know, it may not be ready yet, but enjoy the aroma while he's cooking it. When it's ready, I guarantee you, he's going to serve it up. You know, there was a group of people that we read about in these parables. You know, the king spent a lot of time cooking up a feast. But when he invited them, they didn't come. Well, that better not be us. You know, while we are waiting, well, enjoy the wait. Now, that seems like a hard thing to do, but there's ways to do it. You can be praising the Lord, reminding him and yourself of all the good things that the Lord has done. You know, it's so easy to forget. The children of Israel, they are a perfect example of all the miracles, signs, and wonders that God showed in the land of Egypt, and how quickly they forgot. You know, as soon as they met any resistance or any hardship at all on the journey in the wilderness, they started to grumble. They even wanted to go back. I mean, it's like they so quickly forgot, even after crossing the Red Sea. My goodness. And then he was, well, what shall we eat? You know, what shall we drink? We're tired in this. You bring us here to die and all of these things, you know, despite all that God has shown. So it's so easy for us to forget. But, you know, God is not forgetful of your prayers. There may be reasons, I don't know, why the thing is delayed. Perhaps God's, you know, waiting for the right time or teaching us a lesson. I don't know. And no two scenarios may be the same. You know, the reason why things are delayed in your case may not be the reason why it's delayed in someone else's case. And even for a specific individual, there may be different situations in your life why, you know, things are delayed for different reasons. So it's not, I mean, there is no way to always say, oh, this is the reason why it's delayed. We don't know. You're the one that's going to have to figure that out. But whatever it is, this parable is telling us, keep on asking until you get it. There's another parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 11. This Luke, he recorded it again this way. He said, you know, when he was talking about in this particular chapter, the way Luke put it, he said, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, you know, disciples, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, John taught his disciples, but you never taught us to pray. And so tell us, teach us. We see you praying all the time and so forth like that. Sometimes they don't even hear his words. He's just praying. So they're wondering, well, you know, we know you are praying. I mean, what are you praying about? Teach us how we may also pray. So he said, well, when you pray, say, our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive. I like the way this one put it. You know, for means because. Forgive us our sins because we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this was the same prayer recorded in Matthew when Jesus was teaching the people how to pray. Matthew added a few more things at the end. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You know, that kind of thing. You know, so now on the subject of prayer, he's going to tell them this. Doesn't quite exactly say here it's a parable or not. And I explained that yesterday. It may be a parable. It may be a story, an allegory, something that he's just trying to bring something out. But he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. So here is the scenario. This one person got a visitor late at night that he wasn't expecting and he wasn't prepared, you know, for them. And at this time around, well, he can't go to the stores. There were no 24/7 stores in those days. Stores are closed. You know, things close at sunset. They're already closed. So he goes to his next door neighbor or whatever. Because they're friends. and knocks on the door. Now remember, it's already midnight now. So he knocks on the door, and the man from within, let's hear what he says. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. Well, you know, that's what the man from within initially answered. You know, today we actually have technology where, I don't know how this man answered, but today we have technology. You can answer from your phone, you can answer from, you know, Alexa, or you can answer from any of these listening devices, or press a button and speak through the intercom, or whatever. I mean, there's many ways that you can do it. Smart homes these days, you can answer from, you know, anywhere, you know, somebody that is at your door. You know, but he said, look, my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Well, and Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, which means his persistence and the fact that he will not stop and he keep knocking, because, you know, he's, with his knocking, he's going to wake up everybody, you know. Now, persistence, I looked up the word importunity. It says persistence even to the point of annoyance. You know, I mean, it's become, you know, a thorn in your side because it keeps knocking. And if you don't quickly get up, that you're going to wake everybody up. So what do you do now? Because you told him to go away and he will not go away and he keeps knocking. Well, what do you do? Well, the man's going to get up, give him what the man wants just to get rid of him. I mean, not because he's his friend. I mean, it's too late in the night. You know, he may, you know, chide with him later on that, look, don't come knocking on my door at midnight, you know, and so forth, my children. But this time around, right now, right here, he's going to give him what he needs, you know, to get rid of him. And Jesus told all these stories. What is the lesson that he's trying to tell here? Well, he said, because of his importunity, he will give him, rise up and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, so this is the lesson. He's going to summarize this lesson now. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if any son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for fish, will he give him, instead of fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion instead of the egg? If ye then, being evil, naturally, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, Matthew says, how much more shall he give, freely give you good things? You know, so, you know, the Lord is trying to teach us something here. We as parents, we know how to give things to our children. What about your heavenly Father? And did you notice that Jesus was always trying to get people connected to the Father? He's always saying, your heavenly Father. You know, trying to make them have that father-child relationship. When you see him as your heavenly Father, then think of yourself. You know, there was a man called a centurion one time, and he came to Jesus, and the things that he just said, well, you know, you don't even need to come to my house, he said. You know, but speak the word only, because, you know, I've seen how that works. You know, I myself, I'm a man under authority. And, you know, when I say to one, go, he goes. And when I say to another, come, he comes. And I say to yet another, do this, and he does it. Because, you know, that's what we do in the military. And so the man was using his position and things around him in life to understand how things work. So he said to Jesus, I know that you also are a man of authority. That's what he has in his mind. You have your own authority in the spirit realm. You say, this thing that's troubling my servant is something in the spirit realm. I know it. And you can say it and it'd be gone, just like I can say it and people do it. You know, so Jesus is using the same lesson techniques here. You, as a father, use your knowledge and experience as in how you deal with your children. Use that to understand how God might deal with you. When your child asks you for bread, are you going to give him a stone? Nobody does that. If they ask you for fish, are you going to give him a snake? Nobody does that. And if they ask you for egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Who does that? And say, look, by nature, you guys are evil compared to the Lord. But, you know, if you can do good like that, oh, how much more your father, who is inherently good. We are inherently evil sometimes, but yet we do good. What about the man who is the embodiment of good himself? What can he do? Will he give us stone when we ask him bread? So Jesus told all these lessons. And the key thing here is, you know, you must also have confidence that the person you are asking is able to give you what you're asking for. I mean, no child goes to their father to ask for something if they did not think the father could give it. In fact, children don't even, I mean, little children, maybe grown children will be reasoning, but little children, they don't reason very much. They know you can do it. They just come and ask. You know, I love it when my grandkids ask me stuff because it teaches me lessons of life. You say, Grandpa, can I have $5? You know, just say it like that. He doesn't really think whether I can do it or I can't do it because he knows I'm good for it. You know, he will ask. And even if you say no, he'll come back and ask again some other time. You know, he's not going to say, well, he said no last time. I've noticed that. They don't care whether you said no. They will ask again until they get what they want, you know. And so Jesus is teaching us these things. Persistence in prayer is what we're trying to bring out in these lessons. But let me go back to Luke chapter 18 and bring out one more point. Jesus said that, you know, your heavenly Father will answer you speedily. But then he also dropped this thing here. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, he dropped something. He's talking about prayer, you know, but initially that's how he started, you know, that men ought always to pray. That was the reason. And then he looked as if he's talking about the coming of the Lord, you know, that, you know, he will come when he shall come, you know, and so forth. But yeah, he's talking about prayer. So let's focus on the prayer aspect for a bit. Since we know that the parable started out, or the chapter started out by saying, well, he told the parable to the intent that men ought always to pray. Well, the same thing when we're praying towards the coming of the Lord. You know, keep praying and keep believing. But since we're talking about prayer, the coming of the Lord is not the only thing we pray about. In fact, we don't pray about that enough, like we pray about other things. So, well, let's look at these other things that we pray about. Yeah, you pray about stuff in your daily life, you know, our needs and so forth. Now, if we're talking about stuff in our daily life, why would Jesus make, you know, this kind of statement? I mean, it just doesn't seem to align. You know, like, you know, well, nevertheless, you know, when the Son of God shall come, or Son of Man, shall he find faith on the earth? I mean, what is he talking about? I mean, well, if he was talking purely about his coming back, then this would make sense. But We don't know that that's what he was talking about, because he said that men ought always to pray. So now let's look at this a different way. I asked about this some time ago, and the Holy Spirit showed me a different answer to this thing. Why is he talking about this? Well, the thing is this. When we are praying for something, you know, and when the Lord finally dispatches the answer, the question is, will you still be at the point of faith when it comes? Or would you have given up and walked away? And we notice that in life, and even some stories in the Bible, people do give up sometimes, you know, when the answer is just around the corner. Yes, you know, people give up because they've been waiting, and then they give up. But the answer was just around the corner. Or they've been grumbling and complaining. And then, but they didn't know that the answer was just around the corner. There is a story in the life of the children of Israel in Exodus 15. I mean, they had come out. You saw the story in Exodus 14. They had to deal with, God dealt with the Egyptians, the Red Sea and all of that. And then some other things are going on. They're making their journey. They can't find water, you know, and so forth. So they are complaining. And even when they found water, at first it was bitter. And Moses had to do something about it. But they are complaining. They are always complaining about something. But in this story in Exodus 15, it is interesting that just right around the corner, when they were all complaining and everything, if you read the very end of Exodus 15, it says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they camped there. But just before this, they were complaining. But just right around the corner, God had made provision, you know. But they just did not have the endurance, the spiritual stamina for persistence. And that's what we want to talk about today. Stay right there with the Lord in prayer. And don't give in and don't give up. Because, you know, the answer may be right around the corner. And Jesus said, well, when I finally dispatch the answer, will it find you still at the point of faith? Or will you have packed it in and given up? You know, so those of you that make mention of the Lord, you know, it says in Isaiah chapter 62, give the Lord no rest until he establish what he is asking for. Let's read Isaiah 62, what you are asking for rather. Isaiah 62 verse 6 and 7. You know, it says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. God knows how to pick them too. God knows how to pick them. You know, ye that make mention of the Lord, you know, if you are praying to God about anything, keep not silence and give him no rest. I mean, it's point blank in the scriptures. Don't think of the Lord as though you are bothering him. Bother him is what the scripture is saying. Trouble him. That's right. You know, because that's the story Jesus told. This woman is troubling me. The man that went to knock on his friend is troubling him. And Jesus is telling these stories for us to trouble. If you think of it that way, fine, do it. Trouble the Lord. You know, trouble him. Come boldly and tell him, you know, what you need. Yeah, and then he said, give him no rest until he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, that's about Jerusalem. What about me? You know, well, the same concept applies. When I'm believing God for something and I'm asking, I should not give up, but keep asking. Ask today, ask tomorrow, until you get it. Now, we've spoken about this concept many, many times, but I just thought I'd throw it in since we are talking on parables. The people that were persistent in some cases ended up getting something from the Lord, even though they didn't know that they might get it from the Lord that particular day. But they kept coming anyway and kept believing. The story in John chapter 5, the man 38 years that he had infirmity, coming and waiting for the moving of the pool, stirring of the water by the angel. And as the story went, some kind of folklore, the story went that, you know, everybody has heard it, because people do shout about it when it happens to them. Look, they know that the first person that got in there got healed of whatever sickness he had. So everybody, you know, the report has gone everywhere. So people are camping out, not knowing what day exactly or what moment exactly the angel will come and stir that pool. So this man kept coming too. You know the story. And, most times, you know, just like everybody else, a lot of impotent folk were told. But, some are able to get up more quickly than others. In his particular case, people got up more quickly than him. And somebody, it's only one person that's going to get healed. The first person. And he couldn't make it. So when Jesus asked him if you would like to be healed, he started to tell Jesus his experience. Well, you know, of course I want to be healed. What kind of question is that? I mean, coming here, trying to get healed, but people getting ahead of me. You know, but, I'm hoping someday it'll be my turn. You know, but the man kept coming. See, the thing is that the man kept coming. I don't know how long he tried or how many times he had tried and, you know, somebody got in ahead of him. But he didn't stay home and he didn't quit. He kept coming. And one day, he had an encounter with the master of the universe himself. Whether there's an angel, whether there is water, all of that stuff didn't matter in that one moment. And that's what Jesus showed us there. But all of that happened only because the man kept coming. If he had given up, well, he wouldn't have gotten that miracle. You know, so will you be persistent in prayer? Some of you have some things, you know, there's some little things maybe we're praying for that if we don't get them quick or soon enough, it doesn't bother us. But sometimes there are some big things that bother us. For instance, Abraham, you know, this thing was bothering him because when the Lord was telling him some things, his mind was on that thing. It was bothering him. The Lord told him, "Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield, an exceeding great reward." I mean, what else could God offer you when he offered himself? In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. I mean, there's nothing more that he can offer you than himself. But something was bothering Abraham, you know. And he said, "Well, Lord, I know that, you know, I know you are my shield. I know you are my exceeding great reward, but what's bothering me right now is that I go childless. And the steward of this, my house, I mean, is this Eliezer of Damascus? What are you going to give me then?" So sometimes there are some things bothering us. You know, there are many things that are bothering us, you know, but we must be persistent. The woman, sometimes we call her Syrophoenician woman, or we call her a Greek woman. You know, there was something bothering her. And, you know, she came to the Lord and asked for something. Said, "Look, my daughter is grievously ill and so forth. Can you heal her?" And all that. This story is in multiple places. We find it in, she's called Syrophoenician in Mark chapter 7. She's called a Greek woman elsewhere. But the story is the same pretty much. Asking for the Lord to heal her daughter. And the Lord saying, you know, "Well, I can't take the children's bread and give it to dogs. I mean, well, I can't do that." So that was enough to discourage her. But she kept asking. She was persistent. And you know the story. In her persistence, she said, well, and then she looked for a loophole, really, in what Jesus said. Yeah, and sometimes you got to look for, an opening, and latch onto something. I cannot take children's bread. I mean, it's a powerful lesson that Jesus taught even in that experience. Of course, Jesus knew exactly, what would happen. And every story that Jesus allowed to happen around him was to teach us a lesson. And this woman said, well, that may be true that we can't take children's bread and give it to dogs, but what if and when the children are eating, some of the crumbs fall to the ground? Whose then shall be those crumbs that fall to the ground? The children are not going to pick those crumbs that fall to the ground. That's for the dogs. And even if it's the crumbs, the dogs will still get something. She would not be denied. This story is in Matthew 15, also Mark 7. She would not be denied. She would not take no for an answer. She would find a way to keep arguing her case until she got what she wanted. And so, and the Lord at the end, if you look at the reaction of the Lord at the end of this thing, you'll say, wow, it was amazing. Because the Lord said, wow, great is thy faith, O woman. Now, it wasn't all the time that Jesus was impressed with people's faith. Most of the time for his disciples, he was not even impressed. He always said, "Yo, ye of little faith." But this time around, he was actually impressed. And let's take a look at the things that impressed Jesus about this woman's faith. First of all, she had what seemed like, an impossible situation. Because she was point blank denied. Point blank denied. Said, look, I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You are not of Israel, so you can't, you can't call me son of David. You have no right. Jesus was not son of David to her, and son of David only to the house of Israel. I said, look, I can't take this thing and give it to you. I mean, the impossible situation. I was at a point blank no in her face, and Jesus even threw it in her face. I said, look, as far as we are concerned, the children of Israel are they are the children. And they are the ones that will sit at meat. I can't take what's theirs and give it to strangers. I mean, these people, Greeks and others and so forth, they were not even considered to be part of the commonwealth of God at that time. So he said, well, they're like dogs. I can't give you. I mean, that was an impossible situation. But would she be denied? No, she would not be denied. So these lessons are teaching us that, look, don't give up just because your prayer is not answered immediately. What should you do? Well, keep on believing and keep on praying and keep on declaring the word of God and never turn back, because when the Lord finally comes, shall he find you still at the point of faith? And the Lord always wants us to put him in remembrance, remind him. There's a scripture in Isaiah 43 and 26 that says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Now, what is pleading? Well, that means you negotiate. God says you one way, I can't give it to you because it's for children. We can't give it to dogs. Well, the woman pleaded her case. He said, well, that may be true, but, the crumbs that fall to the ground, the dogs can't eat of it. She pleaded her case. Plead your case that you may be justified. Declare it. Isaiah 43, 26. So these are some other parables that Jesus told, or stories that he told, to bring out the point of persistence in prayer. Don't walk away from the Lord when you are believing God for something. Now, God may tell you There was a story about Paul, the apostle. I mean, he was asking for certain things. He has sought the Lord in prayer, we are told. And, you know, the Lord said, no, don't ask me again. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. Well, I'm not Paul, and God hasn't told me not to ask him anything. Because somebody's thinking, well, you know, sometime the Lord might tell you that. Well, maybe if he does, he does. But if he doesn't, then he hasn't. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you can read the story of what Paul was saying that the Lord, that there was something that he was carrying around with him, you know, all his life. We don't know what it was. Some people say it is this and that, or whatever it was. He called it, you know, this thorn in the flesh. And because he called it thorn in the flesh, you know, he said, look, I besought the Lord three times for it, that he might depart from me. You know, and the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for me. And even when he kept asking, well, the Lord told him, well, you know, ask again, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, you know, don't let that make you stop asking. Keep asking. If he tells you that, well, ask some more. There is never, look, God will never, you know, say, you know, it's a sin because you kept asking. The scripture says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be opened unto you. So as long as you keep asking, but ask in faith. That's what James said. He that is doubting when he's asking, let him think. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Because, you know, he that doubteth is like a wave of the sea that's tossed up and down. So stable in all his ways. Can't get anything from the Lord. So when you're asking, ask in faith. Ask with confidence. Visualize the thing as being already done. Let me give you this scripture. In the book of John chapter 16 and verse 13. I love this scripture about what the Holy Spirit does. And use this scripture to help yourself when you are believing God for something. Praise the Lord. Here Jesus is talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit. He said, how be it? John 16 and verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That's the part I want to talk about for just a minute. Show you things to come is not only necessarily, you know, predicting some future governmental or global events and things like that. He will show you that too. But what about you in your personal life? I have used this scripture to visualize myself in seeing the answer to my prayers. You know, and you can do that too. The Holy Spirit will show you that thing. And once he shows it to you, you latch onto it. It's a done deal. Show you walking down that aisle. You know, show you, you know, that your new job. Whatever it is we are believing God for, the Holy Spirit will show it to you. And it can show it. You can see yourself, you know, doing that thing. And when you see it, my goodness, you just latch onto it. And because you've latched onto it, well, you know, you don't turn loose. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, is not worthy of the kingdom. Once you put your hands on the plow in asking God for something, don't turn loose. You stay right there. You know, Jesus one time said, will you also go away? You know, some people went away from the Lord after I started to say some hard things. Well, hard thing or not, you don't think it is hard for somebody to allude to the fact that you might be a dog? These things are for children and not for dogs. You don't think that's hard? But did she turn loose? Did she walk away from the Lord and say, what kind of insult? Why is he insulting me like? Did she say that? Absolutely not. Stood right there and said, dog or no dog, children have their part. Dog have his part. give me what is mine. Woo-hoo! And Jesus said, my goodness, I've never seen, I mean, great is your faith, O woman. You know, so use your faith. How powerful is your faith? How great is your faith? Can you find a way to get an answer from God even when it looks like initially it's no? Well, you know, that's great faith. Stay right there with the word of God. And no matter how long it takes, you know, sometimes it may take a few years, a few months, a few weeks, a few days, or many years. It took Abraham many years to realize the promise that God gave him. As a matter of fact, if you calculate it correctly, it was very close to 25 years. The promise of the son that will come through Sarah took him 25 years. But in the meantime, stood right there with it. And we're told that he even changed his name. Came out and told people, well, my name will not be Abraham anymore, but Abraham, because God had made me the father of nations. Put an emphasis on it. You know, and all that. And he kept believing God. 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 So, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, that's the lesson today in persistence. I'm going to make it a short lesson today. I want us to practice persistence in prayer. Not just one day, not just today that you're hearing this lesson and then next week you forget. What good is that if we quickly forget these lessons? You know, so let these lessons stay with you. It's not all the time that you're going to get the answer to your prayers right away. You might, but even if you didn't right away, you know, if you have the right kind of faith and you stay with it, you know, you still get the same results. You know, I've taught on the principles of the oracles of God. I've preached on it, even made a book out of it, called The Principles of the Oracles of God, based on a sermon that was preached sometime. If you follow those principles, it says you can get your prayers answered 100% of the time. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, it will be always instantaneous. Well, maybe sometimes it can be. But whether it is instantaneous or not, you stay right there with it until you get it. You know, and you never know what the Lord is commanding or what unction he's giving in the heavens. He might say, he might call a conference one day and say, look, have you seen my daughter such and such? Now, this is to the good angels, not to the devil now. They say, yeah, you know, we see her. Say, well, you know, see how she's hanging in there and believing my word. Or my son such and such. I say, yeah, we see. Well, okay. Then you go down there and see to it that it happens. You never know what God might be doing because, you know, of your faith. You know, see how she's not letting anything, you know, stop her. She keeps believing. See how he is always believing and declaring my word. And the angel say, yeah, I see. I say, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I will go and make sure it happens. You know, the Lord told us, I mean, we saw in the stories in the Bible, some things that happened around the Lord, and it gave us insight into some other things. You know, the story around Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and who persuade, you know, Ahab to go out and fall at Ramoth Gilead and all of that, Micaiah and the false prophets and so on. You know, and the spirit that came and said, well, Lord said, well, how are you going to do it? He said, well, I will do this, I will do that. Well, that was a negative story of sorts, but that gives us insight to the positive things also that might be happening in the heavens. And we see some of it, you know, listed or an insight given in Psalm 103 verse 20. It said, look, there are some angels that God has given strength, are powerful, and they do his commandment. They're hearkening to the voice of his word. And what word? You know, it's not only the word that God speaks. It's wherever the word of God is spoken. Because they just move into action. God showed it to me one time. You know, so when you are believing God and standing in prayer and not giving up, you don't know what the Lord might be saying. He might be saying, well, you see how she's steadfastly believing my word. Well, go down there and see to it that it happens. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. A reminder in faith. You heard this lesson many times in faith, but it's pertinent because it's also started off with a parable. So we bring in this parable. I think at this time I've covered a lot of parables. That's a few more obscure parables that I may cover. Obscure because, you know, they may be kind of even confusing what he's talking about. But, you know, I may cover that later. But today, that's our lesson in persistence in prayer. Never give up. Never give in. Stay right there. You know, it says in the book of Habakkuk, it said the vision is for an appointed time. And even if it seems like it's tarrying, well, stay right there. It will not tarry long. It shall come to pass. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, he was already telling you it's tarrying, but then he's telling you it will not tarry. Well, what does that mean? That means though it tarries, wait for it. It will not tarry forever. Eventually, you know, it'll come to pass. And eventually, we don't know whether it's one day, 2 days, or whatever. But stay right there with it. You know, and let me encourage us with a promise today as we close this segment. In the book of Ezekiel, and I love this promise, and I've quoted it many times on this platform. The word of God is eternal. You can quote it 100 times. It'll still work for you. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. How that the Lord, you know, the people were getting tired of waiting. And they said, well, you know, all these things for a long time, you know. This thing is not coming to pass. And they said, well, the Lord said, well, tell them that this proverb of things are not coming to pass and it's for a long time, you know, and so forth. Tell them I'm going to change that. You know, the Lord said, I'm going to change it, for I am the Lord and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. That means it has been prolonged. You know, it's been prolonged. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting, but the Lord said, well, now it shall no more be prolonged. You know, so at some point in time, this declaration must come to pass that the thing will no longer be prolonged. Well, it may be prolonged for a while, but at some point it will no longer be prolonged. And the Lord said, well, in your days I've spoken it, and in your days I will do it. And he said, look, my words in verse 28 shall no longer be prolonged, but the word I have spoken shall be done. So you wait right there for it. And surely, according to Proverbs 23, and verse 18, surely there is an end. Just like, you know, the day must come after the night. You may be in a night season right now for something that you are believing God for. Psalms 30 and verse 5 tells us that, well, joy is coming in the morning. Sorrow may be enduring during the night right now while you are waiting, but joy is coming. And Proverbs 23 and 18 tells you that there is an end. Just stay right there and your expectation shall not be cut off. Father, we thank you, Lord, today and every day, for the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Thy word, O Lord, Psalm 119 and verse 89, is forever settled in heaven. Let it also be settled in our hearts, that which you have spoken, you are good for it. And no matter how long it takes, wait for it. Even though it tarries, we're going to wait for it. But it won't tarry long, and it will come to pass. I pray, Lord, that the zeal of the Lord will also hasten it in our lives. Hasten that word which you have spoken, Lord, because long waiting and long hope wearies the heart sometimes. I pray, Lord, that your people who have waited and tarried for the promise, whatever promise it is they're waiting for, Father, make a quickening of it in Jesus' name. Let there be rapid response even after this prayer today in Jesus' name. Let there be an acceleration. Let it come to pass quickly. And the Lord said, yeah. And when it starts, it shall come like a flood. Multiple miracles at once. The Lord will do it. He'll open the floodgates of heaven and bless his people. The Lord bless thee out of Zion, we are told. Well, the dew of heaven fall upon every one of you in Jesus' name. And the Lord grant you the grace to be rugged in prayer. That's right. And persistent. And build up your spiritual capacity and stay right there. And don't give an inch until the Lord does that good thing for you that you are believing him for. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. And sometimes the delay may come because the enemy try to put his hand to it and try to block it, like the story we saw in the case of Daniel. How the Lord dispatched the answer, but the prince of Persia withstood the answer. Now, we put spiritual handcuffs upon every hand of the devil that is trying to hold back your blessing and the release that God has already given. Why not? Ignorant of his devices. The delay may come because the devil tried to put his hand on it. Cut his hand off, spiritually speaking. Put spiritual handcuffs upon his hands. And the Bible says, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Who can disannul it? Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory to come to pass. That those things that your children are believing for shall be granted them. And that which has been granted shall come to them. Nothing shall prevent it. It will be theirs and they will receive it. And we shall glorify your name together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.